ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Again, I need to bring this up because we are not talking about foundational truths here. We're talking again about likes and dislikes or just someone rubbing you the wrong way or whatever. We have to be careful because the world's looking at us. And we've seen in newspapers and magazines where churches are fighting, you know, a church is fighting amongst themselves and they divide and split. It's tragic. Paul says, you know, he wants us to put on the mind of Christ. Get along with each other. I'm not saying this to scare you, but you better learn how to get along with each other because you're going to have to spend eternity with that person too. So if you can't get along with them down here, what's going to happen when you get to heaven? I know that's going to be resolved, but resolve it here. Now, also, Paul speaks of the book of life. What's that? Well, here's the thing. I believe every person on this planet is written in the book of life. Does that mean everyone's saved? No, not at all. But I think everyone's name is in there. In Revelation 3:5, Jesus said this, "He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Isn't that interesting? If we come to Jesus and ask him to be Lord and Savior, he won't blot our names out of the book of life. What does that mean? It means everyone's name's in the book of life. Everyone has a chance of being saved. God didn't just save some people. The gift is for all. But if you reject the gift, your name will be blotted out of the book of life. In fact, you know, Revelation 20:15, anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. It's our choice to accept Jesus or reject him. And what Paul is saying here to this church in Philippi, your name is written in the book of life. You're going to spend eternity with the Lord and with each other. Get along now. Don't wait for heaven. I think that's important. Look at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Some people look at that and go, that's kind of a strange statement since he just finished telling these women to stop fighting with each other and get along. I think it fits perfectly well. Do you think these two women were happy with the situation they were in? No. I'm not saying they didn't put a facade on. Oh, everything's fine. But the reality is, it didn't fool anyone. They tried to look good, but they knew they were at odds with each other. Everyone in the church. How do I know that? Paul was aware of it. Okay? Don't you think if Paul was aware of it, that the people within the church were aware of it? I'm absolutely certain. So whatever smile they might have put on when they saw each other, it wasn't real. It didn't fool anyone. Everyone knew what was going on. Paul tells them, you know, again, put on the mind of Christ and rejoice in the Lord. Let those things go. And the word for rejoice is in the present tense, which means to be constantly rejoicing. This is not a positive mental attitude, folks. He's saying your focus has to be in the Lord because we can only rejoice in him. Why? Because he never changes. You can't rejoice in the Lord when you're fighting with the brethren because your eyes are on self. You haven't put on the mind of Christ. Love isn't flowing. And then he speaks of gentleness. And it's a Greek word that carries with it the idea of patience and forbearance. It speaks of a spirit that's yielded to the Lord, and thus his nature flows from our lives. Surrender is one of those things that is so hard to do. Because we like to be in control. But when we surrender to what God has told us in his word, it's what's best for our lives. But that's always a hard one. Paul was talking about gentleness, but these two women were fighting. And there was no gentleness there. They were at odds with each other. Why should they get along? Because the Lord is at hand, or he's present with us. You know, I'm sure if we could physically see the Lord following us every single day of our lives, we would act a lot differently, wouldn't we? I'll let you in on a little secret. He is. He's always with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Wake up with that mindset and live accordingly. And yeah, are we going to blow it? Sure we do. Repent, get right, and walk. And keep in mind, Philippians 4, verses 1 through 5, Paul is showing us we don't have to worry about people, who's right, who's wrong, because the Lord's present with us. He'll take care of those things. And I think also Paul is saying that the Lord's return is coming soon. Be ready. Knowing that he's coming back helps us to live like we're supposed to. I mean, how many of you want to be involved in something that's not right when the Lord returns? None of us do. In fact, John talked about this in 1 John 3:3, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. What hope? The hope of his return. I don't know about you, but you know, when my parents left me in charge at home, I knew about what time they were coming back, and you know, it's kind of like the cat in the hat, you know? Get the house cleaned up, mom and dad are coming soon. And that's kind of with us, you know? The Lord's coming back. I want my life to be good. Man, it'd be awesome to be preaching and the Lord calls us home, right? As we move into Philippians 4, verses 6 through 9, again, some powerful verses here. Paul's going to show us that we don't have to worry because we have the peace of God in our lives. And I'll kind of break this up into two parts. Verses 6 and 7 deals with not being anxious and how we could be free from anxiety, the worry in our lives. And then verses 8 and 9, Paul is going to speak about what our lives are to be filled with so we don't give the enemy room to cause us to worry. I think, again, very appropriate and important stuff for our lives. Look at verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. First of all, I'll share this with you, and then we'll deal with what Paul's saying here. One writer kind of put it like this. He said, rejoicing in the Lord is not a luxury. It's a necessity. Until the Lord comes back, all of us are going to experience excruciating stresses, interpersonal woes, humiliating sicknesses, our own deaths, and if we live long enough, the wrenching deaths of loved ones and friends. But in every and all circumstances, we are to rejoice in the Lord always. How so? At the very foundation, we must press close the fiery record of the joy of our salvation. We must take David's words to heart as they were fulfilled by the ultimate Son of David. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. That's from Psalm 40, verses 2 and 3. And it's out of all this, all the anxiety, all the worry. Paul says, be anxious for what? Most things? No, be anxious for nothing. That's a tough one. I don't know about you, but do I get anxious? Yeah. I've lost my focus because I'm anxious, taking my eyes off the Lord. And this isn't a suggestion like from Paul. Paul's not saying, you know, if you feel like it, don't be anxious for anything. No, he's saying be anxious for nothing. It's a command. Not easy. How can we do this? Why do we struggle so much? And for some, you know, they think Paul is kind of cold and not very compassionate. Let's think about this, though. Is worrying going to help you or hurt you? How many of you worry has really helped you? None of us. It's just made us miserable and sometimes sick. It hurts us. In other words, worry will strangle the life out of us. I think it's a very fitting word. Turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Let's look at this just a little closer. Matthew 6. We're going to pick up in verse 25 where Jesus said this. He said, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Worrying about things is not going to solve anything in our lives. Absolutely anything. Again, like I said, it'll hurt us in the long run. Worrying about tomorrow, how is that going to help me? You need to have a correct perspective. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What is that saying? Get your eyes off of what's in front of you and focus on the Lord. But what about the... Focus on the Lord. Rest in him. Let him comfort your heart. And Paul here in Philippians makes it really simple. When you find yourself in difficult situations, give it to God in prayer. That's a general request. Supplication is more specific. God wants to hear from us, and when we do come before him, we do so with an attitude of gratitude or thankfulness. You don't come before him complaining, but thanking him for who he is, for his love for us, and so on. I don't always understand why these things are happening to me. And I can complain and grumble, and then down the road as I look back and I see, oh, that's what you were doing, Lord. All my complaining was wrong. Perspective. Does God know what he's doing? Do I know what I'm doing? Absolutely not. There are times I don't even get it. But he does. So bring your concerns before the Lord. Let him fill you with his peace. Why don't you feel his peace right now? Maybe because your mind is not focused on him, but upon the situation or situations you're in right now. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace. It's really shalom, shalom, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Please understand, this is, you know, when we think of peace, we think the absence of trouble. That's not the peace that the scriptures are speaking of. It's a peace through the storms of life. It's a peace that's from God. It's not based upon our efforts. It's beyond our understanding that we can be at peace in the midst of this tremendous storm. And yet that's exactly what God has given to us. And we just need to receive it by faith. You may have heard the story about this man who was seeking the perfect picture of peace. And he didn't find any that satisfied him. And he made a contest to produce this masterpiece. And the challenge stirred the imagination of artists everywhere. Paintings were arriving from far and wide. And finally, the great day of revelation arrived. And the judges uncovered one peaceful scene after another. And everyone was clapping. Oh, look at that. Wow. And then kind of the tensions grew as there's only two more pictures that remained veiled. And the judge pulled the cover from one and you can hear a pin drop. Here's this picture of this mere smooth lake. Green birches under the soft blush of the evening sky. Along the grassy shore, a flock of sheep grazed undisturbed. It's got to be the winner, right? Well, the man with the vision uncovered the second painting himself, and the crowd kind of was gasping. They couldn't believe what they were seeing. How could this be peace? The picture was this tumultuous waterfall cascading down a rocky precipice. The crowd could almost feel its cold, penetrating spray. Stormy gray clouds threatened to explode with lightning, wind, and rain. And in the midst of the thundering noises and bitter chill, a spindly tree clung to the rocks at the edge of the falls. One of its branches reached out in front of the torrential waters as if foolishly seeking to experience its full power. And there was a little bird that had built its nest in the elbow of the branch. Content and undisturbed in her stormy surroundings, she rested on her eggs. With her eyes closed and her wings ready to cover her little ones, She manifested peace that transcends all earthly turmoil. Have you ever felt like that bird with those crashing waters, the wind, the lightning, the thunder, the rain coming down upon your life, and yet this bird was at peace? That's what God does for us. That's the peace that Paul is speaking about. That's the peace that Jesus is talking about. And that's the peace that the scriptures are talking about. I've told you before that 31 years ago when I was diagnosed with diabetes and they admitted me in the hospital. And, you know, at that period of time in my life, I was running. I was in great shape, you know. I felt, you know, I'd be 100 years old and still doing everything I wanted to do. A little prideful. And then I got the diabetes, and that was the most devastating thing. Because being a nurse, it was something that I said. I said, Lord, if anything, I don't never want to get diabetes. Bam. So here I was. It was in the evening. It was dark. And we were up on the higher level of the hospital. Everyone had went home. And there I was. I went over to the exercise room on the floor. And huge windows in there, looking out over the forest that was close to the hospital. And I was just crying out to God, God, how could this happen to me? You wanted me to be a pastor in Wisconsin. How am I going to even get up there? Look at this, Lord. And there was this huge storm. Reminded me a lot of this painting. Lightning flashing throughout the sky. The thunder, rain was hitting the windows. It's pretty incredible. And I was just crying out to God, literally crying, because it was so devastated. And, you know, it wasn't like this audible voice, you know, that I heard, but I knew who God was speaking to me. And this is what he told me. And it's so simple, and it's right out of the scriptures. My grace is sufficient. That's all he said. My grace is sufficient for you. And it brought great peace to my life. Because, okay, Lord, you're right. I'm focused on all the storms that are happening in my life right now. I'm trying to figure this out. And I said, you're going to see me through. That's a peace that surpasses all understanding. And it's like Jesus said in John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Look at that. Jesus said, in him we could have peace. And if it ended there, we'd be like, yes. But no, it says, in the world you'll have all kinds of happiness and joy. Oh, no, it says tribulation. You got to be kidding me. No. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Get your perspective corrected. Look to me. Great peace. John 14:27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you to you. Not as the world gives to you, gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The world gives a pseudo peace, don't they? But Jesus gives true peace. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be troubled because we can rest in him. And that's what Paul says here in Philippians 4:7, that as we give these things to the Lord, as we lay them at his feet with thanksgiving, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. I don't know why I get amazed when I read the Word of God, but I do. Because I'm fascinated how God gets to the heart of the matter. Paul says that this peace that is from God will guard our hearts. What does that mean? It's our emotions, right? Our emotions. We are not anxious, fearful, because this peace is guarding our hearts. I mean, think about our emotions. We can get them racing and they could be all over the place depending on the situations we're facing. I remember, you know, growing up as a kid, I don't know why my parents did this, but they made me take violin lessons at school. Oh my gosh, you know. But, you know, being a boy, you know, you've got the little things on the side to tighten the strings to make them in tune. You know what happens if you tighten them too much? Oh, yeah, they pop. Yeah, they break. And I broke mine. And oh my gosh, my heart must have been going at 200 beats a minute. I was terrified. I put it back in the case and went to bed that night. I couldn't even sleep. My heart was racing. I was out of control. I was so emotional. And the next morning I had to tell my parents because, and they're like, well, I guess we'll have to get it fixed. I'm like, what? You're not going to kill me? All that worry, right? For what? Nothing. Dead emotions. And I think many times that happens with us. I like also that Paul says this peace guards our mind, our thoughts. I thought my parents were going to kill me. That's what was going through my mind. I'm dead. I'm sure they're going to tie rocks to my feet and throw me in the lake. That'll be it for me. They're Italian, sorry. But here's the thing. The enemy can't mess us up with our thoughts if we're focused on the Lord and his word. Can we trust what he's telling us? If we start to focus on everything that we're going through, yeah, it is going to be tough. I thought this was interesting. One of the surveys I read showed that 8% of what people are worried about is legitimate. 92% of what we worry about is foolish. It's not going to happen. Wow, we're letting 8% control our lives instead of the Lord. Well, what about this? What about that? What am I going to do? Give it to the Lord. Let his peace guard your emotions, guard your mind. And a peace that surpasses all understanding will come to you. You'll have rest. Peter said in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. I think the Lord can handle all our issues of life, don't you? I mean, he created the heavens and the earth. I think he can handle my problems. But what should we focus on? Yes, okay, we're to give it to the Lord, but what do we fill our lives with? That's what Paul talks about next. Look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. What are you filling your life with? The things of God? You know, there's that old adage, computer adage, garbage in, garbage out. And it's kind of funny that I say it's an old adage, but it is. But it's very applicable. What are you filling your mind with? Because what you fill your mind with, that's what will come flowing from your life. Paul's saying, instead of filling your mind with the garbage of this world, meditate or take an inventory of these things in your life. Things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, proper, praiseworthy. Absolutely. In Romans 12:2, this is from the New Living Translation, it says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect his will really is. Allow the word of God to fill your life. Fill yourself up with good things that are going to benefit you and not hurt you. You see, what we meditate on, what we focus our minds upon really matters. I'll give you an example. A few years back, I used to watch, you know, Fox News Channel fairly regularly. I was an angry man. It made me mad and furious at what was going on in this country. I was so aggravated, and yet I was compelled to watch it. It was kind of like a train wreck, I guess. I don't know. And as I thought about it, I'm like, what in the world am I doing? I'm filling my mind up with this stuff, and I understand what's going on, but here's the problem with that. They don't give any solutions. They're just telling you all the garbage that's out there. What's the solution? It's Jesus. I don't watch it anymore. We don't get the channel anymore, which is probably good. The Lord helped me out on that. I don't even watch national news anymore because I get aggravated over it. It's not that I don't find out what's going on in the world. We should be aware of what's going on. But I also know what's going on when I look at the scriptures and I see what the last days are going to be like. I mean, I was just finished up on the part two of our prophecy update that we're going to do on New Year's Eve. You guys will be here till 2021, I think. There is so much, and there's always something new, so I'm kind of just said, okay, that's it. We're stopping now, of course, unless something big comes up. But it's amazing when you look at the things that are happening in the world. You know, when I first got saved, prophecy, you see a little something here, a little something there. Now it's all the time you're seeing how all these things are lining up together. That's incredible. And it's encouraging. I look at the world and I go, wow, Lord, things are happening just as you said they would. Things aren't falling apart. They're going according to your plan. And it gives me great hope and encouragement. And I could share with others what God is doing. And I like what Paul says in verse 9 here of Philippians 4. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. Okay, you know all this stuff already.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers. Breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.